Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here again, cutting through all that information overload to get you those high-value insights you really need. Today, we're drilling down into something specific from material science and home design. It actually came from a listener who's, you know, trying to pick out the perfect flooring. Yeah, so we're taking a really focused look at limestone flooring. We'll be digging into the properties outlined in our source for today, which is titled Limestone Flooring Pros and Cons.
And we're not just, like, skimming the surface here. We want to extract the absolute core nuggets of knowledge, the things that really tell you if this stone works for, say, a busy area in your home.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you're facing a big decision, something long-term like flooring, you absolutely need to understand the real trade-offs involved. It's not just about how it looks. It's structural. It's financial, too. So our mission here is to quickly pull out the most critical points, the pros and the cons that fundamentally impact how you'll live with that floor, maintain it, you know, its long-term appeal. Absolutely. We're trying to bypass all the marketing fluff and get straight to the practical stuff. What you really need to know, we need to figure out where limestone really shines and, maybe more importantly, where it might cause you problems. The goal's pretty simple. Help you understand the essential pros and cons for flooring so you can get the info quickly but properly. Okay, let's unpack this. The important pros and cons of limestone flooring, right? Let's start with the upside, the pros. When the source talks about the advantages, what specific things does it highlight? What makes people choose limestone over, I don't know, porcelain or maybe granite?
Well, what's interesting is how the source kind of filters the praise. It doesn't just list everything. It focuses on three main things. The first and maybe the most obvious one is timeless aesthetics. You know, limestone's a sedimentary rock. It often has these amazing natural fossils or like rich earthy color variations. It gives it this unique soft look, almost a patina that hardest stones just can't copy. It adds a sense of history right away.
That visual appeal. I get that.
And secondly, the source really points to its thermal comfort. Limestone is dense. That means it has excellent thermal mass. Now, this is a huge pro if you happen to live somewhere warm because the floor naturally feels cooler. It's lovely underfoot. But conversely, if you're in a cold climate and you install radiant heating underneath, it holds onto that heat really well. Super efficient.
Oh, that's a really practical detail. People probably don't think about that enough. It's not just looks. It's literally how the space feels. But hang on. If it's dense and has good thermal mass, does that make installing it tricky? What about the third key benefit you mentioned?
Ah, good question. That actually leads into the third important pro, installation versatility.
Right.
Even though it's stone, limestone can often be cut into thinner tiles compared to, say, granite. Plus, you've got different finishes, tumbled, honed, polished. Which means it works just as well in a really formal living room as it might on an outdoor patio. That adaptability, that's a major plus for designers trying to get a cohesive look through a whole house.
Okay, I see. Those are good distinctions. So it's not just, oh, it's a pretty stone. It's actually functional for temperature, adaptable in design. Those are benefits that genuinely make it stand out, especially when there are so many flooring options out there. Makes sense. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Because, you know, every beautiful material seems to have a catch, right? A trade-off. So time to look at the crucial drawbacks, the cons. The source seems just as clear about the negative side. What are the big challenges, the things you really need to plan for?
Yeah, we're kind of moving from the beauty of calcium carbonate to its chemical weak spot, its Achilles heel, if you will.
Yeah.
The first really crucial challenge, probably the most important one for you as a homeowner to understand, is its high porosity and sealing requirements. Limestone, just by its nature, is very porous, like a sponge almost. And the source is super explicit about this. If you don't seal this floor regularly and do it properly, it's incredibly susceptible to staining.
Susceptible to staining.
Oh.
Okay, that translates immediately to real-world problems.
Right.
You're talking about like a permanent mark from spilling red wine. Or maybe olive oil splashing in the kitchen.
Exactly that kind of thing. And regularly. Well, the source suggests it depends on the finish and how much foot traffic it gets. But you might be looking at resealing it every, say, 1 to 3 years. But that porosity, it links directly to the second major con, acid sensitivity.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Limestone is mostly calcium carbonate. And calcium carbonate reacts pretty much immediately and sometimes quite badly with acid.
Acid. Okay, this raises an important question. Like you said earlier, what counts as acid in a normal house?
Look, lots of common stuff. Vinegar, lemon juice, sodas, even many standard bathroom cleaners, they're all acidic. And here's the kicker. Using the wrong cleaner just once can permanently etch the stone. It dulls the finish, creates actual physical damage, not just a surface stain.
Wow. Okay, that's the difference between like a minor cleanup job and potentially a big expensive repair. So if you have kids or pets or just a busy kitchen, you basically have to be super careful about what hits the floor and just as careful about how you clean it. Knowing my cleaning routine might need a complete overhaul. That's a huge piece of info if I'm thinking about this for a kitchen remodel. Really actionable.
Precisely. And the third crucial drawback mentioned ties into the stone's physical strength, or maybe lack thereof. Low hardness susceptibility to damage. You know the Mohs scale. For mineral hardness, limestone usually sits around a 3 or 4.
Okay. And how does that compare?
Well, for comparison, granite is often up around a 6 or 7. So quite a bit harder. What this lower number means in practice is that limestone is pretty prone to scratching, scuffing, even chipping, dragging heavy furniture across it. Definitely not recommended. Even, say, a large dog's claws or dropping something heavy like a pot in the kitchen.
Sure.
That could potentially leave a permanent mark.
Right. So that aesthetic depth, that beautiful natural look we talked about earlier.
It comes at the cost of durability. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially compared to harder stones like granite or, you know, modern engineered materials.
That makes the drawback really clear. The trade-off is right there. You get this incredible warmth and historic feel, but you definitely lose that sort of bulletproof resilience you might get elsewhere. You're consciously choosing a floor that's going to show its age, develop that patina of wear, rather than one that fights off every little scratch.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the fundamental trade-off here, when you balance these specific pros and cons from the source, it's that classic dilemma in building and design.
Mm.
Beauty versus maintenance. Limestone demands respect. It demands ongoing attention. It really requires you, the homeowner, to be an active participant in caring for it. Mm. A steward of the material, you could say.
Okay, so let's bring it back to our listener and anyone else thinking about their own project. Based purely on what the source lays out, who is this material really for? Who's the ideal candidate?
Well, based on this framework, it seems ideal for someone who's quite meticulous, definitely aesthetically driven, someone who puts a really high value on that natural beauty, maybe the thermal performance too, and crucially, someone who understands that this kind of stone flooring is a long-term commitment. It needs regular, specialized maintenance. You have to be careful with cleaners. They need to value that soft, natural aesthetic over getting maximum resilience.
Right. Meticulous is a good word for it.
Yeah. And conversely, the source pretty strongly suggests you should be cautious if you're looking for something low maintenance, you know, a set it and forget it kind of floor. Or if it's going into a really high traffic, high spill zone where acidic stuff is common, think commercial kitchens, maybe even kids' bathrooms where harsh cleaners might get used. Basically, if you need a floor that can take a beating, withstand aggressive cleaning, and resist constant scuffs, then these important cons we discussed, like the porosity and acid sensitivity, they might just be deal breakers for you.
Okay, that clarifies it a lot. And maybe the biggest misconception this whole comparison busts is the idea that all natural stone is basically the same. By listing these specific properties, the source forces us to see limestone as, well, unique. It's not granite. It's not marble. It needs its own specific care plan.
Exactly. I think the essential insight here is that choosing the right material isn't just about picking a color or style you like. It's about finding something that genuinely suits your actual lifestyle, your tolerance for upkeep. And the comparison also gives us a clearer picture on cost, doesn't it? You're not just budgeting for the stone itself and the installation, although the versatility there might be a pro in some ways. You also absolutely must budget for the ongoing stuff, the sealing products, specific pH neutral cleaners, and maybe even having money set aside for potential professional help if you do get bad etching or a deep stain.
That's a really useful synthesis. Pulling it all together like that, the source really guided us straight to those, what was it, 3 key benefits.
Mm.
Aesthetics, thermal comfort, versatility. And then the 3 really critical liabilities, porosity, acid sensitivity, and that low hardness. So what does this all mean? We've boiled it down. The key takeaway seems to be limestone is a material with a lot of character, yes, but also one that makes pretty high demands on you.
I think we've learned that getting actionable knowledge, especially in material science, means you have to go beyond just the general labels. You know, natural stone, you really need to look at the specific traits, the chemical makeup, like its calcium carbonate base, its physical properties like that Mohs ranking. That's how you truly understand how it will impact your daily life.
Yeah.
Honestly, the biggest nugget of knowledge here might just be recognizing that choosing limestone isn't just picking a floor. It's kind of committing to a specific lifestyle,
yeah.
One that involves fairly high maintenance.
Yeah, that specific detail, that commitment to specialized maintenance that feels like the real shortcut to being properly informed here could save you from a really costly mistake later on.
Absolutely. And maybe here's a final thought for you to chew on, building on this framework of pros and cons we just walked through. If pretty much every material has these critical trade-offs, these important pros and cons, how does the definition of critical or important shift depending on the actual place where you plan to use it? Or even the climate? Like, if the important con is low hardness, does that matter quite as much if the limestone floor is going into, say, a quiet, low-traffic bedroom compared to, perhaps, a busy outdoor pool deck? Especially in a freezing climate, where freeze-thaw cycles could introduce entirely new, maybe even more critical, vulnerabilities. Just something to think about how context really is the ultimate modifier of what important truly means for your specific project.
That's an excellent point. Context is everything. Okay, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thank you so much for learning with us today. We'll see you next time.